بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وإذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. Respected elders and dear brothers, in our last Jumma talk we spoke about the first scene in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, wherein Yusuf alayhi salam came to his father. He narrated the dream to his father, and his father issued a warning to him that he should not narrate the dream, he should not share the dream with any of his brothers. And then Yaqub alayhi salam, the father of Yusuf, he then goes on to explain this dream, what he understands from the dream that his son Yusuf alayhi salam had. And it was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after the Fajr Salah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn to the congregants, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask any of them if they had seen a dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then would go on to have the dream interpreted. So if we have a good dream, and it is a dream that has a good effect on us, and we feel good about this dream, it is a sunnah that we should go to someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed with this knowledge of interpreting dreams and have the dream interpreted. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith that the interpretation or the dream will only be manifested once the interpretation takes place. If the interpretation was not offered to you, then the dream will not be manifested. Yaqub alayhi salam, he turns to Yusuf, and he says, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى آلِ يَعْقُوبَ كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا عَلَى أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. He goes on to explain this dream to Yusuf alayhi salam, and he says, وَكَذَلِكَ, and this is how, يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. There are three things that he discusses with Yusuf alayhi salam with regards to his dream and the outcome of the dream and what he understands from it. He says, number one, يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose you. You will be specially selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what I understand from the dream, number one. And this is something that manifested later on, as we will learn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected Yusuf alayhi salam to enjoy great bounties. The authority that he then enjoyed, he became the minister of agriculture in Egypt, he became the finance minister. We're having so many problems in that department right now, but he became the finance minister at that time of Egypt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with fame, Allah blessed him with wealth, many years, 40 years later in his life. So Yaqub alayhi salam says, I understand from this dream that you will be specially selected by Allah to enjoy certain bounties and favors of Allah, number one. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. The second thing, O my son, that I understand from your dream is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will directly teach you the interpretation of events. Allah will bless you with this knowledge. He uses the word ahadith, that Allah will teach you the interpretation of ahadith. Ahadith here refers to dreams that people have. As Allah has blessed me with the power and the knowledge of interpreting your dream, a time will come where you will also enjoy this science that is specially endowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number two, this is what I understand from this dream. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. Allah will allow you to interpret the dreams of others as well. We learn something from this, that the interpretation of dreams is a special science that is not acquired. You have certain sciences which we refer to as the acquired sciences. Sciences which are acquired. A person goes out and he makes an effort and he studies it. Those are acquired sciences. This type of science, the interpretation of dreams is not an acquired science. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses and selects certain people to have this ability and to enjoy the science whereby they may interpret a hadith and the dreams of others. And that is why Yusuf alayhi salam or Yaqub alayhi salam tells his son Yusuf, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ, Allah will teach you. Allah will bestow you with the science and the knowledge of interpreting a hadith, the dreams and events of others. So those are two things. Number one, you will be specially selected by Allah to enjoy certain worldly favors and bounties of His. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to teach you the science of interpreting dreams. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. And He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perfect, He will perfect His bounty upon you. Number three, this is what's going to happen. What is meant by the perfection of bounty? And what bounty exactly is Yaqub alayhi salam referring to? This is referring to the bestowal of Nubuwwah. The greatest bounty and the most perfect bounty that any human can enjoy in this world is the bounty of being selected as a Nabi of Allah, a Prophet of Allah. So when He says that Allah will bless you and bestow you with a perfect bounty, Allah will complete it upon you, He is referring to this bounty of Nubuwwah. So Yaqub alayhi salam had understood that this son of mine, Yusuf, will be chosen as a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kama atammaha ala abawayk, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfected His bounty upon your grandparents. Who are they? Your two grandfathers, we spoke about them. Min qabl, previously Ibrahim and Ishaq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith, Al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem ibn al-Kareem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who is Yusuf? From a lineage point of view, Yusuf alayhi salam was the most honorable person who lived on this earth. One is, we spoke about his phenomenal beauty. No one possessed the beauty that he had. And secondly, the lineage that he had, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself acknowledged that Yusuf alayhi salam indeed had the most honorable lineage. Al-Kareem, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to him as Kareem. Al-Kareem is the most honorable one. Who was the son of an honorable one? Who was the son of an honorable one? Who was the son of an honorable one? Who is that? Yusuf ibn Yaqub ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. Yusuf, who was the son of Yaqub, who was a Nabi of Allah. Who was the son of Ishaq, who was a Nabi of Allah. Who was a son of Ibrahim, who is, we know, as the father of all the Anbiya, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So this is what is meant by yutimmu ni'matahu alayk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to favor you with a great bounty as He favored your grandparents. And we understand from this dream, Yaqub alayhi salam understands that my son Yusuf alayhi salam will become a Nabi of Allah. The scene comes to an end, the discussion between father and son. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before moving on to scene number two, the second scene, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Allah says, surely, in the story, in the narrative, in the incident of Yusuf and his brothers, there are ayat. We spoke about ayat, sah? Ayat means signs. They are profound, deep signs for those who ask. لِسَّائِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for those who ask about Yusuf. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say there are signs in the narrative, in the story of Yusuf, for those who ask about Yusuf and regarding his brothers? Is because the Jews, when they heard of this man, Muhammad, in Makkah al-Mukarramah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who claims to be a prophet, what did they do? They decided to test this man. So they sent a special delegation all the way from Medina to Munawwara. There were no Jews living in Makkah, right? All the Jews were residing in and around Medina to Munawwara. So they decided that we're going to send a delegation to this man, Muhammad, and test him to figure out whether he's a real Nabi. So the question that they asked Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a vague question. What was the question? That look, if you are a true prophet of Allah, then tell us about the prophet whose son was taken from Asham, whose son was taken from Syria all the way to Egypt, and he was separated from his son, because of which he wept and cried until he became blind. That was Yaqub alayhi salam. No one had this information. No one possessed this information, and the Jews knew about it. There's absolutely no one in Makkah who has this information. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the question was vague, unclear. But the response, subhanAllah, in chronological order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire chapter of the Quran with such details of Yusuf alayhi salam and the family of Yusuf alayhi salam that cannot even be found in the Torah and in the Injil. So Allah says in the narrative of Yusuf and his brothers, there are clear, explicit signs for those who ask. And also, this verse could also mean that this event in itself, apart from being a proof or an evidence against those who asked regarding Yusuf alayhi salam, there's also great signs for you and I to learn from this about the perfect power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what the surah teaches us. Allah's power. Amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. I mean, think about, imagine the destiny of a little child, 12-year-old child. We spoke about his age. He was 12 years old at the time, right? Speak about a young boy of that age who's taken and thrown into a pit. What can you expect of the destiny of that child? To one day rule Egypt? Can we ever expect that? But look at the supreme power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says in this incident, in the narration and in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, there are signs. So it gives us this great hope that we have much to learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam as believers, inshallah. Moving on to the next scene, scene number two. The first scene, you had two characters, who was Yaqub alayhi salam, the father, and his son Yusuf alayhi salam. The scene of Yaqub and his sons closes and another opens. And in this scene, you have the brothers, 10 of the brothers. Binyamin, he's still a young boy, so he's not part of this discussion. These are the 10 brothers. Every day they would go out into the wild, and they were tasked with the duty of herding the animals. So they would go out by morning and return by evening. So one evening, when they come back, they are sitting and they are discussing, and the scenes commence. What are they discussing? They say, إِذْ قَالُوا لَيُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَا مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ. What do they say? They say, Yusuf and his brothers, his little brother, they are dearer. They are more beloved to Allah, to our father, than we are. So they have this grudge against Yusuf alayhi salam. They are big grown up men. And Yusuf alayhi salam is 12 years of age. Now out of the 12 sons, the eldest 10, the first 10, these 10 who are sitting and having this discussion and plotting against Yusuf alayhi salam and against the brother of Yusuf, these 10 were from the first wife of Yaqub alayhi salam, whose name was Layyah. Her name was Layyah bint Layyan. Layyah, the daughter of Layyan. Upon her death, when Layyah, the wife, first wife of Yaqub alayhi salam, had passed away, Yaqub alayhi salam then married her sister Rahil, known as Rachel. So Rachel was his second wife. And Yusuf and Binyamin were both born to Yaqub and Rachel. So they were full brothers, and they were real brothers. And whereas the other brothers were their half-brothers from their father's side. So they realized, the brothers, that they realized that their father Yaqub loved Yusuf alayhi salam more than them. And they felt that we are older than them. And that is, what did they say? Nahnu usbah. Nahnu usbah. We are a well-knitted group. We are a group of young men. We are managing the affairs of the family. We are seeing to our father's duties and responsibilities, and we are carrying out the errands on behalf of our father. So it doesn't make sense that our father loves Yusuf more than he loves us. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. What did they say? They said that our father is in clear error. He's in dalal. He has gone astray. He has lost the plot. How is it that he loves? And sometimes you find this rivalry between siblings and this rivalry between the children. But remember, what is the criteria? Yusuf alayhi salam did love. Yaqub alayhi salam did love Yusuf alayhi salam more than he loved the other brothers. It was a fact, it was a reality. And as parents, we too sometimes love a certain child more than we love others. But what should the criteria be? That is important. What is the criteria? One is when it comes to the worldly things and the material things, Rasulullah ﷺ says, we must advocate and we must be equal when it comes to our children. But when it comes to the emotions and the heart, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it came to his wives, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear that he loves Aisha more than he loves every other wife of his. But when it came to his worldly distribution, and when it came to the material things of this world, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was absolutely equal and justice when it came to that. But the emotions of the heart is something you don't have control over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks of the love that he has for a certain servant, what is the criteria? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most honored in the sight of Allah, the most beloved in the sight of Allah, is the one who has the highest level of Allah consciousness. The one who has the highest level of piety. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he implemented the same criteria when it came to his children. The other children, their behavior did not inspire confidence within him. Yes, they were carrying out the job and they were attending to the affairs of the family. But in terms of their behavior, in terms of their morals, in terms of their piety, Yusuf alayhi salam was far, far ahead. And that is what made Yusuf alayhi salam more beloved to him. His behavior, his character, his akhlaq, the high morals that he lived by, and the high character that he displayed. And that should be the criteria. That should be the criteria when a parent develops more love for one child over the other. So this was the complaint, and they discussed it amongst themselves. That it seems as if our father loves Yusuf and his brother, that is Binyamin. He loves them more than he loves us. What should we do about this? The jealousy reached a point where they wish to now exercise and act upon the jealousy. One is the jealousy remains within the heart. The envy remains within the heart. One, it doesn't reach that point where one wishes to now exercise the jealousy and carry out and act upon that emotion, that jealousy, and express it. But they've reached such a point, though he was such a young child, they reached that point where they would like to now exercise the jealousy and act upon that evil emotion and trait within their hearts. So what do they say? Uqtulu Yusuf, kill Yusuf. Let us kill him. That is the point that jealousy had reached. Uqtulu Yusuf, that's one opinion as they were discussing. Awitrahuhu arda. A second opinion was, let us not kill him, but let us transport him and take him to a foreign land. Ardan. Ardan is an indefinite noun in the Arabic language, meaning any land, we don't even care which land it is. But we'll just go over that land, dump him over that land, far, far away from the land of Canaan. They were living in the land of Canaan, the city of Canaan. يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. And then your father's attention and your father's face will be reserved exclusively for you. So what are they competing for? And how often this happens within our homes. What are the siblings competing for? And perhaps sometimes you as a father or as a parent, you do not even realize it and understand that. It's that attention. It's that approval. It's that acknowledgement from the father, from the mother. That is what they're competing for. And it comes or it plays out in different ways, sometimes in very strange ways. And you don't even realize it. That's exactly what the child wants. So it is that acknowledgement, that approval, that attention, because they make it يَخْلُ لَكُمْ وَجْهُ أَبِيكُمْ. All we want. It's not that we want his share of our father's wealth. No. We just want our father's attention to be exclusively for us. We want to be the sole recipients of that attention and that love. وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. And they said, you know what? After committing this crime, وَتَكُونُ مِن بَعْدِهِ. After that, we can make tawbah. Ramadan is around the corner. Let's party right now. Okay, let's party. It's fine. Ramadan's around the corner. You know what? When Ramadan comes, we'll patch it up. Everything will be fine. ثُمَّ تَكُونُ قَمِنْ بَعْدِ قَوْمَ الصَّالِحِينَ. We'll become salih and we'll become pious after that. All we have to do after committing the crime is repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness and everything will be fine and well. So this is what they had decided, or not decided, but this is what they were discussing. One of the brothers who was seated amongst them, what did he say? He says, لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُف. Do not kill Yusuf. Do not murder him. We do not have to go to that extent. And we do not have to employ such an extreme measure against Yusuf, alayhi salam, our brother. Brothers, what we are learning here, or what we are seeing playing out in the scene is sibling rivalry. sibling rivalry. It is an innate emotion or an innate, weakness that siblings suffer from, that humans suffer from, that sibling rivalry. And subhanAllah, child psychologists, they say that this rivalry between siblings, this envy between siblings start from as young as a child is of 2 years age. 2 years of age already, the child suffers from that innate weakness of sibling rivalry. That is why when the newborn child comes into the home, a child of that age, what does he do? He's pinching the child, he's beating the child, he's doing all funny things to the child. Why? It's that innate sibling rivalry that is natural, that exists in every child. You as the parent, it is your duty to manage that. At no point should you contribute towards the stimulation of that rivalry. Never should you be part of that, where one child is treated unfairly in front of another child, or where remarks are made to one child in the presence of others, and degrading a child, humiliating a child. What are you doing? You are contributing towards the stimulation of that sibling rivalry, which could have serious psychological effects on the child. So one of the sons, and he was the eldest son, whose name was Yehuda, he was the eldest brother amongst them. He was sitting over there, and Yehuda, we find that the Jews are referred to as Yehud. We refer to him as the Yehud. They are attributed to Yehuda. From there they got the name Yehud, the Jews. So he tells them, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسُفْ. Do not kill Yusuf. Let us not murder him. وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. Do not kill him, rather cast him into the bottom of a pit well. Let us take him to a pit. Okay? In Arabic, there are two words used for well. One is bi'r, the more common one, bi'r, bi'run, a well. But here they use the term jub. They do not say, let us throw him into a bi'r, let us throw him into a jub. What's a jub? A bi'r is that well which has been built up. And it's a well that has been prepared, and all the facilities and so forth are available there at the well. It is a more formal, structured well. But when it comes to a jub is just a pit in the ground from which people draw out water. What did they say? Let's take Yusuf to one of these pits that are found when we go out herding the animals and grazing the animals that are found next to a road, and let us just throw him into that pit. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْدُ السَّيَّارَةِ. Now Yehuda, though he was part of the plot and the plan against Yusuf alayhi salam, and he participated in it as well, but he always had a soft spot for Yusuf. He did have a soft spot for him. That's why he tried to save Yusuf alayhi salam from being killed. And he tells the brothers that يَلْتَقِطُ بَعْدُ السَّيَّارَةِ. Some travelers passing by that jub, passing by that pit, they will take him out, they will find him, they will go over there to draw out water, and perhaps they will find him in kuntum fa'ilin. If you really have to do something, this is what you should do. Don't go ahead and kill the youngster. This is jealousy. And this is what jealousy can do. And today you find also that people who harbor jealousy for others, they will go sometimes to extreme levels in order to exercise on the jealousy and cause harm to the next person. Brothers, jealousy gives birth to and gives rise to many other crimes. If we look at the first crime that was created in the heaven, that was committed in the heavens, which crime was that? When Iblis, Shaitan, refused to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, the first crime that was committed there over in the heavens was due to jealousy. And the first crime that was committed on earth was also due to jealousy. When Qabil, the son of Adam, murdered his brother Habil, that was also due to jealousy. So that is what jealousy can do, and that is the power of jealousy. And subhanAllah, you find that jealousy is so difficult to contain and so difficult to control that even the sons of Anbiya, these are the sons of a prophet, Habil and Qabil were the sons of prophets. Even the sons of Anbiya at times found it so hard and so difficult to contain the jealousy that crept within their hearts. I conclude with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather it is stated in the scriptures of Musa alayhi salam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about a jealous person, Al-hasidu aduwu ni'mati. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per the scriptures of Musa alayhi salam, said that a jealous person, he is not, when you are jealous of somebody because of a bounty that a person enjoys, or because of some privilege that that person enjoys, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you are directing your unhappiness not towards that person, but towards the bounty of Allah. It is Allah who has blessed the person with that bounty. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who blessed that person with that privilege that he or she enjoys. So when you harbor enmity towards that person, Allah says, Al-Hasid, the jealous person, is aduwu ni'mati, is an enemy of my bounty. Mutasakhitun liqaba'i, he is unhappy with my decision. That is what I decided. He is unhappy with a decision and a decree that I made. غَيْرُ رَاضٍ بِقِسْمَةِ الَّتِي أَقْسِمُ بَيْنَ عِبَادِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a jealous person is not happy with the distribution which I have distributed amongst my servants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. We have concluded the second scene wherein the brothers plotted against Yusuf alayhi salam. Eventually they decided on what Yehuda had said, that they will take him and dump him and throw him down into the pit of a well. And the next scene, they now have to come to their father and convince their father to release Yusuf alayhi salam so that they may take him along with them. May Allah grant us understanding. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah.